An appropriate subject for tonight is the work of the ministry. A keynote for this message is 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye may abound to every good work. The service of the Lord is work. It is not a vacation. The service of the Lord demands the best that is within us. I have never before preached an ordination sermon from the book of Revelation, but I'm going to tonight. I've been working on it for a long time. And in chapter 2 of Revelation, it struck me that the emphasis fell upon work. The Lord 7 times over says, "I know thy works." And he is addressing the messengers of the churches. He is addressing those servants of his that he has commissioned and set where they can serve. In chapter 2, verse 2 of Revelation, he says, "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." Here, for the first of these 7 times, "I know thy works." He is speaking about the service that he himself has commissioned. He knows it perfectly. There are people who try to appear to work when they're not. I recall that particular bit of software that is available for computer workers. They can be working on a diligent project and goof off, pull up a game, and play a game on company time. And that particular program is designed so that at a moment's click of one button, a spreadsheet shows up on the screen, just in case the office manager walks by. Well, it's not possible to do that for the Lord's work. He knows precisely what's going on in everyone's heart, everyone's life, and he sees quite through all the work that all his servants do. And so when he says here, "I know thy works," it is with an omniscient thoroughness he knows every last thing. And he adds to that, "thy labor." And that word labor is the word for very hard work. Strain implied in the term. Labor that demands the best that is within you. He sees that. You can't work too hard for him. He sees precisely what you are doing and all the strain that it takes to do the work of the ministry. "And thy patience." So many begin a good work and after a while throw in the sponge and give up. But he sees that patient continuance in well-doing that brings his great blessing. He sees also that thou canst not bear them which are evil. He sees the stand that is taken. He sees the dedication to himself and the fact that we will not compromise his word or his ministry. And he sees that with approval. He knows what it takes to be different and stand alone, and sometime draw the jeers and scoffing of those who think they know better. In verse 3, he repeats, "and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted." He is thinking of that passionate love for him that moves a servant of the Lord on to diligent service and effort to accomplish his blessed work. What a marvelous privilege it is to serve such a Lord. But he has a warning here also. He says in verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And here is a grave danger for every Christian. It is easy to become so used to the service of the Lord, so used to a pattern of existence, that the love, the passionate love, begins to dim down, and the flame burn low upon the altar. And here that addresses every last believer, because we all know that feeling extremely well. We all know what it's like to let service become routine and to let the fires of passionate love burn low. And that's a terrible mistake for all of us. We must stir up the embers. We must ask for grace, the operation of God's Spirit, to cause them to flame up once again, that our love be what it should be, that we serve from a burning heart and not just from a sense of duty. And so the exhortation to this first servant applies to us all, but it applies especially to you, Ward. In verse 9, he speaks to the church at Smyrna. "I know thy works." Once again, he knows precisely what is going on in Smyrna. "And tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." Yes, the Lord Jesus knows a church and a servant of the Lord who has to suffer for him. The Lord suffered for us all. He knows what that's all about. And when a servant of the Lord is called upon to endure suffering, to face enemies and persecution and such, always it is in the immediate presence of his Lord. His Lord is watching everything that is going on, taking note of every attack, taking note of every enemy. He knows precisely what is endured. He shall set the record straight. It is an encouragement to every servant of the Lord who is called upon to serve in difficulties or against opposition. It should never make us bitter. It should make us thankful for a privilege. For the Lord suffered for us. If he calls upon us to stand in difficult places and fight hard battles, that's all right. The Lord knows. And the Lord shall set the record straight. And all, one day, will know the faithfulness of his servants. In verse 10, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." No one can harm the servant of the Lord. No one can destroy a person that the Lord intends to bless. We may have perfect peace and serenity in the face of whatever happens, because the Lord is our defender. The Lord looks after his servants. In verse 13, he speaks to the church at Pergamos, and he says, "I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's throne is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwells." I know thy works, holding fast my name. Here is the idea of gripping strongly, holding on to that name which is above every name, the testimony to the Lord Jesus. And he knows those who are faithful, who will not let go, who will stand firm and not compromise. And sometimes we must be faithful even to death. But that should not intimidate us either. For the Lord passed through death for us. He conquered the old evil foe. And He assures us that death cannot harm any of His servants. He is with us through the waters. He will bring us safely into His presence, where it is impossible to die, where eternal life is the portion of every faithful servant. So we should not fear the enemy or fear any of the difficulties we face, because the Lord is with us and the Lord knows, and the Lord is going to win and bring every faithful servant home to His presence in blessing and joy and eternal fellowship with Him. In verse 18, to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath His eyes like unto a flame of fire, and His feet like fine brass. I know thy works, and love, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last, more than the first." Once again, he perceives precisely the nature of this particular servant. And here he commends the agape love, the love that gives. It is not just charity in the sense of giving to the poor, but service from a heart of love, even as the Lord Jesus Himself served. And faith and patience, this is what it takes. You've got to trust the Lord. You've got to endure and keep on keeping on. Never give up. And the Lord sees and observes every faithful servant who continues. And the persecution, the opposition, does not matter. He faced that through 3.5 years. He had it constantly. It never turned him aside from his ministry. Never prevented him from accomplishing any single thing. Even as the devil cannot prevent you from accomplishing your work, because Christ wills that it be done. And He provides that grace and strength necessary to accomplish every last thing. The encouraging word there is the last works will be more than the first. His blessing increases with the years. His grace mounts up. And the last works are going to be the best works, because He wills that also. It's an encouragement to recognize that the Lord is guiding each servant and increasing their abilities and enlarging their ability to reach others for Him. And that enlargement continues on through the life. We can all be thankful that our ministries are not limited by our first timid efforts, our first feeble attempts to serve. They're the poorest, but the Lord intends much more. You may rest in that divine grace that continually enlarges and equips and enables, because He will never stop enlarging your abilities. It makes it an exciting thought to think of what He has planned for the next life and the service that will continue on a plane vastly greater than what we can imagine now. It makes us wonder what He is planning and what great privilege it is to be a servant of the Lord. In verse 25, he says, "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." Never let go. Hang on to that grace of God that He gives you. Continue using it. Be faithful to the end. He has much more planned. In chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." Ah, what a sad word to give to this church. Here is the danger that confronts every Christian worker in every church, relying upon a reputation rather than a walk with Jesus. That faces everyone. We are all tempted that same way, to rest on our laurels, to drift rather than serve. You have a name, he says, that you're a living church, but you're really dead. We are cursed in this generation in Christendom with a horde of churches and pastors and alleged Christian workers who all profess to know the Lord and profess to serve the God of the universe. And they're not. They're serving themselves. They're serving a machine. They're serving something less than what they were called to. And that is something that we must take special care does not happen to us, because the vast majority of those churches were started by godly people and went forward with great blessing and have left the cause to which they were called. And we must, every one, determine in our hearts that that shall not be true for us or for our church. We will stand firm and truly, with the life of Christ within us, serve Him from the heart and see to it that the flame never dies down. No Christian worker should ever deteriorate to be the custodian of a dying church. We have life from the Lord of life. We have power from His presence. And our work should remain, because it's accomplished by the Lord Himself and His grace. And our church, thank God, is a living church who serves the Lord Jesus. Let us maintain that by His grace with prayer and sacrificial service, to accomplish all His perfect will in a church that is alive. In verse 7, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. I know thy works." But here, he has done something special for his servants. He has set before them an open door. And this is surely the portion which you, Dr. Anderson, have before you. An open door of service. How blessed it is to recognize that we do not have to strain to serve the Lord. We do not have to wrench open doors and push our foot into places where we don't belong. No, we can follow a leading which is crystal clear and go through doors that He has opened, with the serene confidence that He knows precisely what our work shall be, and He has all the power and grace that we need to accomplish that very thing. And you may be assured, Dr. Anderson, that God has that exact place for you, a place of service and blessing, a place of enlargement of your capabilities. By His grace, He shall accomplish everything to which He calls you. How wonderful that the open door is something that the devil and all evil people put together cannot shut, because God opens that door. Now, what is significant in the context here is the fact that He promises that He will keep us from the hour of testing. In verse 10, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." We don't look for the powers of Antichrist. We don't look for a world system crushing the earth into submission to the devil. We look for the living Lord, who has promised to come back. And in verse 11, he stresses, "Behold, I come quickly." He will come right on time. And no believer should fear the reign of the Antichrist. He should look for his Lord instead. "Hold fast that which thou hast, that no one take thy crown." He intends a crown for every believer, a crown of victory and triumph. And he shall accomplish that purpose. How blessed it is to look forth in the future to the coming of the Lord, to seeing him face to face. We do not look forward to seeing the devil and the Antichrist and all the rest of the evils of this age. We look forward to the Lord in serene trust that we shall see him face to face one day. And when that happens, we shall be in his presence, never to be removed from it, equipped and transformed to serve on a higher plane, with a vaster company, in a program of blessedness that will never end, because God's will enlarges. It never just comes to an end. The service rendered here is but an introduction to service rendered there. And that service goes on forever. It makes the thought exciting to think of what he has planned and how he is already shaping the ages to come for the blessing and benefit of his servants that he's preparing. For this whole life is just a training ground. It's a school from which one day we will graduate to go on and really serve in a much better realm, in a service that shall never cease. For his servants shall serve him. In verse 15, he says to the Laodiceans, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Always, every last one of us must continually remind ourselves that we must not become lukewarm. We must not become indifferent to the things of God and take things for granted instead of aspiring to more and more grace, more and more service, more and more usefulness for the Lord. And here in this last church, he says they're lukewarm. They're nothing. Neither hot nor cold. Let that never be said of you, Dr. Anderson. May your heart always flame with a passionate service and love for your Lord. May your life radiate the energy of the Lord in accomplishing his mighty purpose, and serving with that singleness of mind that means the Lord will get the glory. In verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." for all of us. We can put ourselves in that scene. We know the door has no handle on the outside. We know the door is our heart's door. And we know that we are the only ones who are responsible for fellowship with the Lord and communion with Him. If we don't have it, there's no one in this world we can blame but ourselves. Always in the ministry, the temptation stands there to get so busy that the personal devotion suffers. To be so involved in present tasks, present responsibilities, that we forget to pray like we should. And the image of the Lord standing at the heart's door, patiently waiting for us to finally recognize that He's been knocking and we haven't been hearing. That is one of the most convicting scenes in all of the Bible. We all know the feeling extremely well. We must always be aware that the Lord constantly wishes our fellowship. He is constantly there, knocking at that door, because He desires fellowship with us, not just on occasion, not just at odd moments, not just at set times, always. And whatever we are doing, whatever task we are performing, we've got to be aware that He is there. And He wants us to make the hymn a part of that occasion, a part of that moment. It's a case of abiding in the presence of the Lord. Abiding the way a branch abides in the vine. Let the door never be shut. Let Him never be excluded. Whatever we are doing, we are free to talk to the Lord. Lord, here's a person who needs help. Give me the right words. Lord, here's a situation I don't know how to face. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, here's an opportunity. Help me to make the most of it. And not to be distracted from the presence of the Lord by the labors of the ministry. It is so easy to be involved in work and to forget the one who must accomplish all that work. For all of us, whatever we are doing, wherever God has called us to serve, we must be aware that the Lord is always there, knocking at the heart's door, always ready to commune with us, always ready to impart wisdom, always ready to give grace when needed, always ready to just be there in comfort and strength for whatever the believer's needs are. My friends, for every one of us, we must be constantly aware that the Lord desires our fellowship. Not once in a while, but without ceasing. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever service is being rendered, the Lord must be a part of it. He is right there, waiting to be included in it. Never forget that He is there. Never forget that He wants to be part of the present moment for every last one of us. My friends, sustaining grace comes from the presence of the Lord. When we forget that He is there, oh, how difficult the path becomes, how formidable the enemies appear. But when He is invited in, and we are having sweet fellowship with Him, the enemies are nothing. The difficulties are gone. The occasion is an occasion of joyous fellowship and celebration that the Lord is present accomplishing His work in us. We do not have to worry about the results. They're in His hands. The enemies cannot intimidate us. The task can never be too great, for the Lord is sufficient for all. The greatest single burden and opportunity of your ministry is always opening the door and living in the presence of that Lord who wishes to accomplish a ministry, a service that shall last for all eternity. And He will do it. All we have to do is let Him in and let Him do it, for He alone can accomplish the work of the ministry. Remember His parting promise in the book of Revelation 22:12. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Yes, amazing that He should empower and enable the work and accomplish that work by His power and then reward His servants as their work shall be. How gracious that is. He should have the reward. He should have all the glory. And in our lives, let's give it to Him. Let's give Him the honor for every good thing that is done. Let's give Him the praise for every work that's accomplished, for He did it. Praise God that He rewards us anyway by His grace for doing what He did through us. What a privilege of ministry and service for the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. O Lord, how we thank Thee for the privilege of service. How we thank Thee for that open door, the opportunities of serving Thee. How we thank Thee for Thy presence with us, sustaining, empowering, accomplishing Thy purpose through Thy people. Lord, forgive us that we forget Thee on occasion. Help us to remember Thee. Help us to walk with Thee day by day and live in Thy presence, that Thou mayest use us as Thou dost desire. We thank Thee for Dr. Anderson. We pray that Thy Spirit may rest upon him and accomplish all Thy good purpose through him. May his life challenge all of us in its faithfulness to Thy word and his zeal to be a good servant for the Lord Jesus. Make us all such for Jesus' sake.